and Wilfer will call. And evening is night. I hurry to my blue heaven. You turn to the right. You find a little bright light that leads you to my blue heaven. You find a cozy place, fireplace.
Evening and welcome to another Knackered Football Show. We're playing away this week, hence the noise of dogs you may hear, tractors, helicopters, farmyard beasts. This week I'm in Beverley, the pub-laden town of Beverley. Wonderful little place it is. And I'm with my family. However, my niece hasn't been able to make it, but my brother, Paul, who sits beside me, has.
Thank you very much.
My little brother, who's bigger than me. And my partner, Rowena Mackey, has also joined the show this week.
Good afternoon.
So, welcome both.
Very nice to be here too.
I think we should start with Monday's game. What are your thoughts? We've discussed this, we've watched it, and we've watched little clips in the pub of a certain little man running across the pitch to various music, including... is it Yakety Sax or whatever it's called, which is the Benny Hill theme? Thoughts, people? Where should we start? Women first? Rowena?
Well, I was at Monday night's match or Monday afternoon's match, and I thought I had experienced quite a lot of emotion at the football in recent months, but Monday rose the game to a different level, actually, Mr. Blackburn. And it was extremely, extremely stressful. I've never known anything quite like it. And it was just unbelievably stressful, but so overwhelming and amazingly overwhelming and amazingly emotional when Sarmiento poked in the winner at 97 minutes.
It was amazing, wasn't it? I think there was an audible groan when he fell over, or when he sort of slightly miskicked it, and then a feeling of unbelievable, not so much relief, but exultation, hysteria, whatever word you'd like to throw in there. When he prodded it home, one of the most amazing goals you've ever seen, and yet it wasn't amazing at all. It was actually really scrappy, wasn't it? But
it was really scrappy, and from where we sit, I thought we had a really good view of that goal, and it kind of felt almost a little bit like slow motion from what I recall of the moment, where it was a bit slow motion, and you just saw it all happening, and you see the ball beat the keeper, and the next thing you know, you're hugging some random person, and yeah, it was absolutely amazing, and just overjoying.
Paul, what were your thoughts?
I would echo what St. Kieran said, which was, you know, forget league position, you know, forget the context. Just you have to enjoy days like that and matches like that. It was just quite remarkable in its own right, wasn't it?
Now, we talked in the pub last night, actually, like we wouldn't be in a pub at night. About Southampton manager saying that the goalkeeper thinks he would have done better or could have done better. Now, you used to play at goal at a reasonably high level, didn't you? Would you have thought that goalkeeper had any chance? I didn't. I played at a low level, but even I thought, no, he didn't really have much chance at all because he poked it right out of his
I don't think he had Kane Hill's chance of stopping that, no. Really, unless his manager thinks he was positioned badly when the shot came in, but I thought he had no chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was positioned right in front of Sarmiento for when he was going to commit it perfectly first time and didn't.
I'm not sure he could even see the shot when it did eventually come. So.
No.
So, no, I thought the goalkeeper was completely innocent. Whether he might have done better with Leif Davis's goal, you know, near post, sort of angled shot.
Although, having said that, and going back to what I said earlier about seeing so many clips now from not just from the official Sky cameras, but from everyone and their phones and things, there's a wonderful shot of, if you excuse the pun, of Leif Davis's goal taken from behind Leif Davis. And I thought, no goalkeeper will stop that. It was right to the top corner. And it was curling into the top corner as well. It was just Superb goal. Of course, we were up the other end. Hard to see from there, but my goodness, yeah. And thoughts so far on the season? What we'll stay with Paul.
Well, can I just say before yeah, I answer that
you
question?
You can, certainly.
I was watching on television because I was up here with your niece. And when Sarmiento scored, clearly pandemonium struck. And it's taken till this morning for the dog to recover its composure.
Oh, really?
from the trauma of having two adult relatives screaming around the room like banshees. So the poor dog has suffered for it. Sorry, what was the question about the season so far?
Yes, what are your thoughts? And I might even ask you what's going to happen. But if you're slightly like anything like me, you'd be a pessimist.
Well,
and have us relegated before the end of April. But
it's kind of,
what? No,
after the stress of last season, I was kind of hoping for mid-table mediocrity.
Yes,
so we could have a few months off and then go at it again next year. So this has just been overwhelming. Really, it's been incredibly stressful. You know, I never thought I'd be looking forward to mid-table mediocrity, but God, I can't cope with this much longer.
No. Thoughts, Rowena?
Well, I've been on the show a few times and just said how overwhelmed I've been by the fantastically positive start. And rather like Paul, I kind of thought we might have struggled a bit to find our way in the higher league.
Yeah.
But it just clearly Kieran McKenna and everyone around him and everyone at the club and the investment and the team morale and the companionship in that team is just what's making such an enormous difference. And as I said right at the start, I hadn't expected, you know, more stress again necessarily, probably a little bit like Paul. I didn't ever think of mid-table mediocrity, but I certainly didn't ever think that it'd be more stressful than it was last year. And it's more stressful than it was last year. I remain optimistic. It's in our hands, isn't it? It's exactly like we're where we were last year, in my mind, that if we keep winning, we'll be okay. But that's not so easy to achieve.
Especially with a certain game coming upon Saturday. Thoughts on that one for a start?
Difficulty, it's just a cliche, isn't it, really? But local derbies are always like cup finals. They can go either way.
Yeah,
whoever's top or bottom is almost irrelevant, isn't it? But I like Rowena, I remain optimistic. I do feel it's a bit like last season and sprinting the last 100 yards now, you know.
Mm.
So. I just think when you look at Connor Chaplin and his response on Monday night, you can't tell me that's not a team that are giving it their all.
Absolutely
day in and day out. And I mean, there's depending on which footage you watch, as you alluded to, Graham, that, you know, there's so much footage going around. Connor almost bundles aside all of the coaching staff because
yes,
he's so desperate to get over to his teammates. Mm. And as you pointed out to me, Hladke's up from the other end as well. And, you know, they're all just... And I know that's not the question you asked, but part of me feels that Monday night's game must put us in a really strong position for the weekend match against those who shall remain nameless. And again, I feel a little bit optimistic, perhaps stupidly so, but surely their frame of mind is just something else.
On a detail, didn't Connor Chaplin run across the pitch? Could he have been booked for that?
Well, I did
therefore
wonder that
could
as
he have
well.
Been sent off for it and missed the next three games?
Yeah, could he even be sent off in retrospect?
Well, yeah.
Oh, God, I hope not.
But on his way back, he went round the side, didn't he?
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a weird one. Yes, and can he be sent off when he wasn't even on, if you know what I mean?
Yes.
As a player.
He booked as a substitute.
But you managed, was he?
Because he'd been substituted.
That's true. But your manager can get sent off, can't he? So.
Yeah.
But is Morsey okay? Because he got a card, didn't he? So.
Yes. What is the state with Morsey? Do we remember? I mean, I'm not very good when it comes to stats. Has anyone
Nobody's
else?
Been so, saying he's going to miss the next two games or anything.
No, that's
he's
true.
Not. Coming up, is it? It's not.
That's true.
Imminent.
Maybe he's gone past the point of no return for this one, hopefully.
So anyway, back to Saturday. I know I'm a less seasoned fan than you two, but I remain a little bit optimistic about we can't be going into that match in better form and a better psychological framework, I would have said. However, I do take on board that that counts for nothing in a derby match.
And Kiefer Moore, you know, need to know what's happening with.
And of course, the lack of Wes Burns was very, very important. Someone, I was in the pub with my man Terry on after the game, and he quite rightly said that Tuin Zabi is not a he's not a Harry Clark, and he was thinking without Wes Burns, maybe Harry Clark is the better option because Tuin Zabi's essentially a central defender anyway, playing at right back, which he does very well. But without a Wes Burns, do you think Harry Clark might have been the better starter? Because obviously when he came on, he made a difference, as did all the subs, and we won. So it could be argued that they remain subs, but what do you think?
It's an interesting dilemma that Sid Kieran has about the fullback spot. I think Tuin Zabi is arguably a better defender.
Possibly.
And Harry is better with the ball going forward. Mm. So that's a hard one to call. I assumed McKenna made the change on Saturday to get somebody more on the front foot down the wing. It's a close call between the two of them, I have to say.
But then Harry Clark brings an energy with him when he comes on. So is he used in that role more recently as the sub because of the energy that the sub just lifts? Yeah. But him in particular, you know, I mean, I noticed it on Monday evening. He just, once he was on, everything lifted. Maybe not a huge amount, but certainly enough that you think Harry's on and, you know, he's doing really well. It's a tough one, isn't it? But then is this what Kieran's been talking about all along, which is it's a squad of players. It's not any one individual.
No,
and it doesn't matter whether you start or you subbed or you're Cameron Humphreys or George Edmondson, who rarely get a run out. But when you do, you do really well.
I was interested. The commentator on Sky was saying that Kieran McKenna not only knows his starting lineup, he tends to know the lineup he wants to finish with.
That's interesting, so it's his finishing lineup, not necessarily absolutely. His starting lineup.
So he knows, you know, injuries apart, like he wasn't going to bring Al Hamadi on, you know, in the first half, but he knows the team he's going to finish with as well as the team he's going to start with. I thought that was a really interesting idea. I don't know where it came from, but
I like his idea of like burning out the players that are going to be taken off, so they come up, they burn themselves out within the first 60 minutes, and then which will tire defenders, and then you bring on four or five next other attacking type players, which is why we've scored so many late goals. And according to some fans, are so lucky.
Well, I think McKenna said that himself. He said it's about the culture and the style. And he kind of referenced the, you know, Fergie time, the goals Man United used to score in injury time because of the style and the culture and so on and so forth. So long may that continue.
Absolutely.
And it's not good for the blood pressure, though, is it, really? You know, 3-0 at half-time would be much better.
No, it's not good for the blood pressure.
5-0 at half-time.
No.
But if it was 3-0 at half time, I'd be convincing myself we're still going to lose. Or we might rescue a draw out of it or something like that. So we look at what's come in the way of tweets and emails, etc. Rowan has left the building.
A pair of roller skates.
Because the dog was eating a pair of roller skates.
You heard it here first.
Frankie O. Good evening, GB. Hello, Frankie. Good evening, GB. With Hurst and Burns out for foreseeable, who can we least afford to lose to an injury or a ban in the run-in? Who wants to go first?
That's a hard one. I would guess, off the top of my head, Morsi, Kiefer Moore or Connor Chaplin. Any one of those three could be really, really significant.
Thoughts?
I would agree with that, but I also think Amari Hutchinson, actually, because he brings so much. I was trying to think about someone like Burgess or Wolfie.
Yeah.
But then Edmondson, who I've just mentioned, he does really well whenever he comes back on. So I'm probably less worried there. But definitely, I'd agree, you know, Morsey. I'd probably agree with the other Mr. Blackburn that we could least afford to lose Moore or Morsey, Chaplin, and I'd also put Amari Hutchinson in there as well.
Although, when you think about it, Leif Davis is on the end of everything that happens.
Oh, that's true, yeah. And Davis, that's very true. And then Harry Clark, we've just said that, you know, he brings a real energy, so maybe if you lost...
And Broadhead brings that slightly different quality.
And you'd be crazy not to put Leif Davis in there as well. He seems to be on the end of everything good that happens, doesn't he?
I think, Frank, you just posed the most difficult question of the season. Because in the end, we just can't think of a single player that you could risk leaving out, really, without losing some really quality...
Intervention
would be a good word, absolutely. We do have cover for certain players that's possibly better than cover for other players. But that's a really difficult one, Frankie. But thanks for that. You might win the award for the most awkward question of the season so far. Anyway, onwards and upwards. Dean Mitchell. Hello, Dino. Not a lot has happened since the last one. Blackburn last 25 minutes was heart attack stuff. Then the fans really helped us get past Southampton. The noise was incredible. Wolfie was epic in both games. My question is, what does Marcus Evans think about what's going on, do you think? This is an interesting one, Dino. Thank you.
What does Marcus Evans think?
Yeah.
That is an interesting question. Well, I would hope after all his years here, he was quietly pleased.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would hope that, because he's still got a very small stake, hasn't he? So is he just thinking... I'm really pleased I hung on to that, and that, I don't know, a lot of people said that he waited until it was the right group who came in to purchase the club, didn't they? So is he thinking maybe he's proud of where they're at and what they've done? And
I'd like to think he's pleased with what's happened. Yeah.
And it's not costing him anything, is it? Because he's, I know that he obviously had the club for a long while and it probably did cost him, but... Yeah, to see where they're at and the investment they're getting and just the results is something else. He must be proud, surely.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Or he might be bitter. He might be bitter and twisted, of course.
Well, that would be the other angle on it. That what do we think? I think on balance, he's probably pleased. He put a lot of money into the club for a lot of
time. He did. There was that one season when he could have topped us up
in
the playoff year and didn't. So, and I think Mick McCarthy... Which leads nicely on to the next point. Mick McCarthy was there, apparently, on Wednesday.
He was, indeed, yeah.
On Monday, there.
What, in the crowd?
Yes, he was there. George Burley was there. Made a comment, the commentator commented on Ipswich welcoming previous managers.
Oh, did they? So there's another question. What would Mick McCarthy have thought of it, do you think? Because I guess he was... I think he would have liked to see Ipswich do well. I mean, I think he did well considering his hands were tied by the aforementioned Marcus Evans.
Well, he was very complimentary about Kieran McKenna earlier in the season job he'd done. So,
I would hope that Mick would have been quite chuffed.
Well, I don't suppose he went to the game because he has no affection whatsoever for the club. I mean, that would be silly, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone always comments, don't they, who's involved with the club, how wonderful it is to be involved with Ipswich Town. So surely that extends to everyone who ever comes to the club, and you wouldn't turn up at a game not to enjoy it and be happy for the team that you put a lot of your own professional life into.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably bordering on the side of optimism in both of those responses, but surely you'd just be delighted.
Yeah.
And especially seeing the stadium packed like that.
Yes.
And revamped and everything.
Just the number of people there.
Yeah, Indeed. Thank you, Dino. Julian Watkins, hello, Jules. Hi, GB. I can't stop watching the highlights of Monday night, especially the Sarmiento's goal from all angles edit. Yes, we're talking about that. Chapa sprinting off the bench and over the pitch is the best thing ever. Can you think of a louder moment in town history? Fantastic. No.
That's probably a yes, no answer, that, isn't it? No.
I don't think... I can't remember. I mean, obviously, time goes on and you've been through great atmospheres and things, but I can't remember anything topping that, especially the end, you know, just the...
No, I mean, I was going to say the first goal in our promotion game last year. I remember that was...
Oh, you mean Exeter. Exeter.
You know, our first goal, that was overwhelming in that moment. But I think Monday night tops it for me, and I don't have the long history with the club that... Well, you know, not super long back in the other golden era. So, no, I'd say Monday night's the loudest I've ever heard and been involved in.
And was generated by 20 years of misery, really.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder. I actually thought, I think that was discussed possibly in a over an alcoholic beverage, but I actually wondered if any meteorologists out there who would know whether the actual... I was going to say atmosphere, but that's the wrong word to use in this instance. If the weather itself would have helped, because it seemed an extremely loud atmosphere, even just walking into the stadium before kickoff, it seemed very as if the weather was keeping. Is that a possible thing, or am I talking nonsense?
You mean moisture in the air, sort of?
Something like that. It just seemed that it was a really loud atmosphere anyway, and obviously
the sound couldn't escape easily out of the ground.
And it was not so dissipated as it often is when you've got one side of the stand singing one thing and another singing the other. It seemed to bring the sound in. Don't know. I'd like to hear from a meteorologist. That would be good. Throw that in. Anyway, we have no missive from Slower Ball this week, simply because this is a recorded show, and I've only just emailed him to say, could you send in a missive? So I can't... get a missive from Slower Ball unless he emails in the next 5 minutes or so. But, thoughts then on the what is going to happen. First, what's going to happen against Norwich? Who spoke last?
I did.
No, well, after, I'm not counting me.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Paul should go next because he's the guest. I've been on the show before.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Little brother.
Or the new guest.
Little brother.
What do I think is going to happen?
Starting with Saturday, of course, and then.
If you'd asked me before Easter, approaching the game against they who must not be named, with a degree of anxiety that since Easter I feel. Less. I am far more optimistic. I think something good could come out of that and would be the springboard for the rest of the season. I think it.
And the rest of the season will end how?
Well, that's an impossible one, isn't it? If you're saying, do I think they'll clinch one of the automatic promotion places? I would say 60-40 on, yes.
Okay, Rowena.
So as I alluded to earlier in the show, I think we, and by we I mean this team, have experience of end of season finishes, and I think Monday night's win will just reinforce hopefully a load of confidence and, you know, that do or die attitude that they'll never give up and that it's all in their hands. I mean, it kind of feels like a repeat of where we were at last year. So I think we're on for automatic promotion. And I feel that we could, a bit like Paul, I think we could have a positive result on Saturday. So I feel maybe 80-20 for an automatic promotion.
Oh, my good God. Oh, my good God. Right.
What about yourself?
I always ask these questions on purpose right at the end of the show so that I run out of time, which I've just done. So thank you, Rowena. Thank you, little brother Paul. Till next week, thank you everyone for listening. A big apology to Chris, by the way, who suggested a Saw Doctors track, funnily enough, to start or end the show. But having had a brief consultation, it was thought it might be unlucky to change the show music after such a successful season. So, and maybe we'll have a show, especially for you, Chris, where we just play Saw Doctors songs and things. till next week, thank you everyone for listening. Sorry, slower ball for not reading out the missive, which didn't come in. Till next week, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.